Second player, press start.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Second Player Press Start. My name is James and I'm joined by my friend
Darren.
And today we are here to talk about a game that we just played for the first time called Nidhogg 2.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like it was released last year, August 15th. It's available for Mac, PS4, and PC. Looks like it was developed by a small indie studio named Messhoff. The designer and programmer. Wow, it looks like there's maybe four people that worked on this game. And it's a sequel to Nidhogg, which I've never played. But I think it's kind of the same deal from what I'm reading of the Wikipedia page. Similar concept, except the art style was more pixelated, kind of more of an 8-bit style than Nidhogg 2, which kind of has this... I don't even know how to really describe it.
I would still kind of... still has that pixely look, but there's
more like 16-bit, like, yeah. Super Nintendo era, Genesis era kind of.
Sure.
Reminded me a lot of like Garbage Pail Kids, kind of that like grotesque style. But yeah, I guess it's a fighting game, I guess we could call it that.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as soon as we booted it up, I say boot up because I'm a PC person going back, but as soon as we turned it on, I had no idea what to expect. I knew the name. I assumed that there was some Norse mythology just because of the name and its spelling. The fact that it was number two meant that it's possible as a sequel. It didn't have to be, but it was possible. And there was nothing in the beginning, opening screens, anything that said this, what kind of game I was expecting. It had a title screen and then it had this weird pixely wash like colors that was just flowing in the background.
And very like lava like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different colors and whatnot. And that was it. When we got to the options screen, we saw the how to play thing and there was a jump and an attack button. So I was like, okay, well, this could be one of those old school brawler types, you know, Final Fight or anything like that. I wasn't sure even at that point if it was co-op or if it was two-player versus, right? And it took me a while until I understood what we were doing, even. Once we got to the character select screen, I had a bit more of an idea, but I was surprised, actually, at the character select, that we were just given two weird-looking characters that pretty much were exactly the same as each other. There was no defining characteristics that were different. Until we got further in, then we can change accessories and hair and all that kind of thing. But what did you think first off? Like, you normally, when I come to these games, I have maybe a trailer to go on, but this time I didn't even have that and I had no expectations whatsoever.
Yeah, I had saw this game. I don't think it was even a trailer. It was like a let's play kind of thing. I think it was kind of funny, their YouTube channel and podcast, and they were playing it and having a lot of fun, and ever since I saw that video, I kind of kept my eye out for it to go on sale, and then okay. I think a few weeks ago it went on sale, so I kind of added it to my basket and purchased it.
Right.
And I knew these are the type of games that we always have a lot of fun kind of playing with, so I didn't necessarily want to show you anything on sure. it, because I would say within like maybe 5 minutes we kind of got it.
We were pros. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I think I just thought it was interesting because right from the get-go there's a lot, even when we click quick play on local to play together, there was a lot of steps we maybe we didn't have to go through, but there's a lot of steps to actually get us to play the game. First, we have to choose our character and then the color differences, so that there's customization in colors, because the character model is the same, basically. But then we get to customize that character further with hair and mustaches and whatnot, different boots and pants and whatnot. And then there's a whole section about the rules of the game. So which weapons we want to use and what's allowed and what's not. There's a section for cheats with like low gravity and all this kind of stuff that until we play, we have no idea what these things are even referencing. Or at least I didn't. And then once you start playing, you realize that it's set up kind of like a normal two-player fighting game in that you're on one 2D screen facing off versus each other, but there's no health bars or anything that would denote it as a fighting game. And then when one of the other players dies through smashing their head into the ground with your foot until there's gore all over the place, which I didn't expect, but the fact that we had an option for gore in the menu told me that something like that
would. Right, yeah.
But once we got there, there's this big blinking arrow in the top of the screen. You're like, wait, what? And you mentioned, because you had seen the game before, you just, you know, move, follow the arrow, right? So we find out that eventually, whenever you win a fight, you have a chance to take ground from the other player. You start in the middle of this world, and the more fights that you win, the further you can push to your opponent's side of the screen to get to the end of the map. They call it the final stage, and then you win. And this big serpent thing eats you, and that's, you're the winner.
Yeah.
Which is crazy and weird and kind of Norse with the snake eating things.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, with very little explanation, we started to pick up on what was going on. I think there's a lot more to it than that, though. In playing through, we realized that there's this whole weapon economy, there's this whole stance system, there's this element of rock, paper, scissors with weapons versus each other at different stances, and yeah, I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything. So everything that I saw was new and interesting and strange to me.
Yeah, I think the aspect of kind of that, it's almost like tug of war, right? Like starting off kind of facing each other, and like your objective is to kind of go through this person almost like a football match where you're kind of trying to get to the end zone, right?
Sure.
And the only thing that's in your way is your opponent. And slowly just learning that as your character, if you kind of die, your character respawns on the next screen.
Right.
Potentially with a weapon that may be stronger against the weapon that the person might have or they might not have,
right,
depending if they've thrown it to you in the previous screen.
Sure.
And that's what I saw in that Let's Play video that I really, really liked about the game, was just that there is a strategic element to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very chaotic, and some of it is just pure luck. But that kind of rock, paper, scissors element, which I know we kind of chatted about as we were playing. And then we were just learning little subtle nuances,
right,
in the combat, which I think the more we kind of play it, the more we get a feeling, and the more in control I kind of felt.
Right.
And it really didn't take that long to kind of feel in control.
Yeah, I feel like we had the core of the game, like we said, within the first few minutes. But as we continue to play, there is more nuances that we discovered and saw happening, and realized that some of what we might have thought randomness initially was more to do with positioning and direction and how you use your weapons. And those are things that we wouldn't have realized in those first few minutes. It took us longer to figure that out. And we played through, what, 5 stages, I'd say? Maybe 6?
Yeah.
And then the last time we played through with some cheats because we wanted to see what some of the differences were there. But I think that there isn't really a lot going for the game in terms of depth, and the replayability primarily comes out of your cheats and your the fact that you're going to play this with multiple different people for a few minutes each. There's even that tournament mode we saw where it's this bracketed tournament system. So I might win a match versus James, but lose versus somebody else. And now James and this other guy are going to play or whatever, and we're going to see who wins at the end of it. I just thought the mashup of a 2D fighter that also has a side-scrolling element to it was really interesting. And I've never seen something like that before. And it's almost like, from the designer's perspective, what if we had a 2D fighter, but there was actually a 2D side-scrolling world that was part of it, and you just fight in different stages. And instead of each stage being this one fight, one chance opportunity, it's just seamless, right?
Yeah.
It's persistent. So if you're still alive, you can keep running to the left of the screen and hope that the other person can't kill you until you reach the end point. So there's that strategic element in the long-term play because you're going through, what would you say, maybe 10 frames or scenes or stages, something like that.
Yeah, it was hard to tell because there was just so much back and forth. There was moments where we were playing where you were at the final like frame or stage, and I killed you or vice versa, and then I would run like almost all the way back to the other side.
Right.
And the stage design I was quite impressed with because each stage had kind of a different feel to it. And there were different like little mechanics within the stage that could play to your advantage or disadvantage.
Sure.
There was one stage that there was a portion of it that was in this like meat grinding place.
Right.
And it had these little conveyor belts that if you stood on them, they would move you left or right. And then there were these little kind of like grinders underneath that, obviously if you stood too long on the platform, you would kind of fall into the grinder.
Right.
And that kind of, you had to kind of quickly think on your feet of, well, I want to hold my ground so that I can kind of defend my end zone, so to speak.
Sure.
But if I stand here long enough, I'm going to fall and kill myself. And there was another stage that had these like tall, so in the woods, it was like these...
like the tall grass?
Tall grass, which made it hard to see, which was kind of annoying in some aspects, but then I could see how you could use that to your advantage. I was really impressed by the level design. And we didn't play through all of the levels, just because our hands were actually starting to cramp up.
Sure.
I guess that's what happens when guys in their mid to late 30s start playing video games. It's pretty hard on the hands because you're constantly mashing buttons and...
Yeah, there's constant movement. It's similar to, in some fighting games, you can, depending on your strategy, you can play a zoning character where, you know, you're going to throw a fireball and keep them at a certain distance, and then if they move in, you can follow up with like a dragon punch or things like that, right? But in this game, because you're always moving and you're always pushing either back against your opponent to get to the other side, or because of the way the death system works and you're respawning, you're always all over the place. Like, there's nothing constant about it. And even when you respawn, you're respawning with a different weapon. And you're respawning sometimes in a different position on the map, because as the opponent moves before you respawn, you might be up on a higher ledge than them, which it seem like, for example, the higher ledges had some advantages, right? Because you couldn't shoot or throw weapons at the person on the higher ledge. They would hit the edge and then the weapon would drop. So then you were left without a weapon while your opponent higher up had their weapon still. So there was elements of that that were relevant to the scenery or the level that also affected your strategic advantages. But going back to that constant movement, there was no moment, like even when you died, because as soon as your opponent died, you needed to move to the next stage or keep moving left or right or whichever way, meant that unlike a fighting game, there's no countdown, you know, 3, 2, 1 fight. There's nothing, there's no pause, right? And even to, there were some cases where we would attack each other and it would be a one hit kill. But other times where we were like stomping each other into the dirt, just because that's the way the mechanics were working. Like, we were button mashing so hard that it was just a natural, that's the way that the animation functioned because of how we were hitting the buttons. So there wasn't really any reprieve unless someone won and then we chose another stage and we started all over again.
Yeah, it was just constant movement from the moment you start. Mm-hmm. And it kind of rewarded that because obviously if you're mashing the button as quick as you can, you may have that upper hand to make it to the next screen.
Sure.
I thought the level design was great. I really enjoyed the music.
That was one thing that stood out to me as well. It was, again, very unexpected.
Yeah. I don't know if it necessarily like fit a theme or like... But it was just kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah, it was basic, like it was electronic music that felt like it could be outside, like it didn't fit with the game in the sense of it wasn't like metal, it didn't have any Norse kind of feeling to it, it didn't feel like fighting game music. It just, like, it felt like electronic. It had some beats and there was some, maybe some down tempo and stuff like that, and it just, it felt other to the game, but that doesn't mean it didn't fit with the game, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of liken it to like a really good Spotify playlist that you might play in the background while you're playing something else. The music was good. I had a lot of fun playing it.
How much more do you think you'd play? Like, do you think that you'd play this? There was an online option, there was local option, there was a local tournament option. What would more play like this look like for you?
I don't think I could really see myself playing it alone. I think this is really one of those like strictly co-op games. I don't think like playing against a computer or an AI opponent, you're not going to get that same, like, reaction from your opponent. Like, having you sit next to me and getting that immediate response.
Right.
And then me giving, you know, responses as they happen. I think that's kind of the charm of the game, which you're not going to get sitting playing by yourself.
Sure.
Or even online, unless you maybe had, like, voice chat.
Yeah, I agree, because even at the end we wanted to see some of the other options in the game and we jumped into just an arcade mode and you're just dropped in with an AI and immediately you've lost half of the energy on the screen because it's somebody that's not responding to you. It's a, you know, it's an AI that's moving and jumping and it looks like, if all you saw was the screen, it looks the same, but the energy in the room is just completely void because I had no vested interest in my side of the match. It was all in, you know, if James wins or not, well, you know, good for him kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't think it's one of those games that, like, I would play to, like, get good at it. Because I think that, like, if someone was really good at this game, I don't think you would have as much fun. Correct. Like, it sounds weird, but kind of sometimes the fun is actually like losing,
right?
Or like being beaten in ridiculous ways is kind of the fun of it. So again, I don't think I would invest time by myself to get better. I think I would kind of hold it until we played together, and then if we both got better together, then the challenge is kind of still on a level kind of playing ground.
Right, matched again. Do you feel that? Because when we talk about getting better, and we go back to something we said earlier about the randomness, or it seemed chaotic, do you feel that there's skills that you can improve on in this game? There was things that we noticed that were, we talked about these details of movement and positioning that started to matter more as we got more used to the game. But do you think that skill is so much in this game compared to, say, another indie like Super Meat Boy, right? Where you're still moving around and you're trying, but in that game, there's definite metrics for improvement, right?
Yeah.
For movement and getting better at a game like that.
I think there's probably little nuances that obviously we're starting to uncover, but I think if you learnt all of those little nuances, then I think there's probably, you know, a 10% kind of skill level that you could maybe achieve if you, you know, played it days on end and kind of studied every little frame. But I don't think this is really that type of game. It's just kind of more of a casual, kind of grab a buddy and, just have some fun.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. And I feel like, I don't know if there was actually a sustainable spot in the market for a game like this, say 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I just don't think it was possible for a game like this to exist and be sustainable to the point where they're putting out a second one or a sequel or whatever. Because I don't feel like a game like this has enough longevity unless you're in those moments with friends where you can get something out of it and then put it away until next time, because it fills a very different role than, you know, a 2-hour session of some co-op game where you're playing through a story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, if you had a group of friends firing up that tournament mode, and you could probably invest, you know, an hour or two playing this pretty easily. I think it'll be a lot of fun to even watch too, right? I recommend it. I think regular price is $20, I want to say. Which I guess would be worth it if you have someone that you know that you can play with pretty frequently. I think I picked it up for under $10.
Yeah, that seems more like a price point in my opinion. I mean, I'm coming from a Steam background too, where pricing on Steam is always a little lower than it is on console. But when I think of the value that I would get out of it versus the value I already got out of it, it's hard to say. Right.
Yeah.
Like if I would go around and buy this to introduce with somebody else or to have as a casual filler game. Right. Coming from a tabletop game background, there's always filler games. There's always like, we don't want to get into a 2-hour strategy game right now, so instead we'll play a 15-20 minute filler, and that gets everybody invested for that amount of time before we dig into something heavier. And that. This game kind of feels like it holds that space for me, right?
Right.
Where this isn't the star of the evening. Like this isn't why we came to play games together tonight, but this is a really great, you know, this gets, whets our appetite, right? This,
yeah.
Like gets us ready for the main course.
Yeah. These type of games are also good little like kind of palate cleansers. Or even just like appetizers for playing other stuff. But I think that'll kind of wrap this up, unless you have anything else to add.
I think the only other thing just kind of wraps into the idea of chaos and randomness. But some of those cheats for me, we played one with the anti-gravity or low gravity mode. But I feel like there's a lot of things in there that could, if you played a lot, like we said earlier, that those types of things would spice it up again.
Yeah.
Give some more variability and more things that you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. The boomerang mode where we shot somebody with an arrow and then it shot us in the face because it came back. Like, those were funny things and those were moments that are memorable. But at the same time, there were some of those modes that just added more randomness to it. And even in those modes where suboptimal strategies or optimal strategies came to bear, I remember in the low gravity mode, it was really easy just to jump over your head and keep running because I had the advantage, right? But I feel, and that kind of wraps back into what we talked about, strategy and skill and stuff. But again, if you're just sitting down with a buddy or seven other friends to play a tournament, throwing on those craziness things just to change it up are totally worth it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that any of those things really, from a developer perspective, is more than toggling a few numbers in the code, really.
Yeah.
Which tells me that there's probably a lot of games that could learn from that. And just in going back to the arcades that we were talking about, but there's a lot of games that have come out before and you would put a code in on the arcade and unlock something, or the, you know, down, down, up, up, left, left, right, right on the old NES controller, right? And I think the fact that these things are built into the game now gives a lot of replayability for what seems to me like a really low development cost. I just find that really interesting from not only the perspective of the developer and the designer, but from the player as well, that right up front, very explicitly, these are ways you can break the rules in our game to change your game experience. And here's, we didn't even know what they did. It incentivized us to try some of the funny sounding things or whatever, just to try the new experience, see how it change.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Thumbs up from me, I guess. If you're looking for a couch co-op game, I think, yeah, I would definitely recommend it. So yeah, that'll conclude today's episode. If you would like to listen to more episodes, I guess you're probably already watching a video or subscribe to something if you're listening to this, but I'll just say you can go to secondplayerpressstart.com, and that's 2nd press, you know the rest, and our information's up there if you want to watch us on YouTube or listen to us via podcast. We're on Apple and Google and pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts now. So yeah, until next time, say goodnight, Dern.
Goodnight, James.